Testing, testing. 1, 2, 3. Hello? Hello? At the back, can hear? Can hear now at the back? Ah, yes. Okay. Okay. Very good afternoon to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So, we will start our afternoon session at exactly 1:30, but because we break early for breakfast, so I decided to ring the bell 5 minutes before 1:30, so we can have our sharing first. Those who are not here, they will come in later. Okay, we will continue with our Heart Sutta, page 11, the third Heart Sutta class. Dated 26 February 2012. There was a question that day. Why must we go through the introduction by Master Xuan Hua instead of going to the Heart Sutta teaching direct? So at that time, the Kalyanamitta who were attending those courses, I think they couldn't understand why. I need to go through the introduction and all those things before going to the Heart Sutta proper. I think they are too keen to learn the Heart Sutta. But there is a reason why you have to go through that, otherwise you cannot understand. So my answer is a very good question. It will be like building a high-rise building without having a stable foundation. As I have explained, the Heart Sutta is a very profound teaching, and it must be understood that without a proper foundation being taught to you, it's almost near to impossible to understand this teaching. Unless some of you have had some very strong past cultivation to help support you in the understanding of this sutta. Hence, this is the reason why I started out by introducing to you the final summary of the First Noble Truth of Dukkha, followed by an in-depth explanation of the meaning of the two aspects of the five aggregates of form and mind in the first Heart Sutta class. This is to help establish a basis for you to understand the great similarity between Sakyamuni Buddha's teaching and that of the Heart Sutta as expounded by Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. Both teachers emphasize the importance of understanding the five aggregates of form and mind and why they are all empty, that is, anatta and sunyata. The introduction by Master Xuan Hua also explained how wonderful and full of wisdom this sutta is, and also why it is so important to read through this sutta diligently many times, because each repetition will reveal to the reader a new depth or a new level of understanding, thus bringing about immeasurable benefits. In a book 10 times its length, one could not fully praise its value as a key to the understanding of human life. Hence the famous saying, true emptiness is wonderful existence. That is, understanding true emptiness can lead to deep understanding of human life. Hence, life or existence will become very meaningful and very wonderful once this Heart Sutta's wisdom has been developed. Master Xuan Hua also stressed on the importance of real spiritual understanding. Rather than deep learning or knowledge, knowledge-based understanding only as a true prerequisite for expounding this Heart Sutta. The main concern of the Heart Sutta and all the other sutta that the Buddha has spoken is simply the life and death of living beings. Means it concerns the birth and death of living beings. And Master Xuan Hua in his introduction did mention He said, in order to truly have the ability to teach the Heart Sutta, the person must have real spiritual understanding rather than deep learning or knowledge-based understanding. So this is the reason why the Heart Sutta is not easy to comprehend. So that's the reason why I had to go through all those explanations. Okay, then answering questions like, why must we avoid all evil, do good, and purify our mind? Why are we born? And where are we going when we die? What we must do while here? How we can stop our suffering and find true happiness for ourselves and others? What is death? Who dies? And what dies? Who are you? What are you? What is life? How to understand its meaning and purpose? Have you all really go into this? Inquire into this? Oh, you have, huh? Then did you find the answer, Yehud? Pass the mic to her. Still searching, very good. So we go to the first question. The one you understand now. Why must we avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind? Why? Because this is the advice of the Buddha. Born of right view with regards to law, karma. So the first question now, you understand. That one no need to search. Then why are you born? And wherever you go when you die? You want to try or not? Page 11, last paragraph. Okay, who want to try? Why are we born? And where will we go when we die? Good.
Why are we born? Based on my reading and coming to your classes, I think we are born because of our craving, our grasping, and therefore we are here. And where will we go when we die? If my understanding is right, we are reborn.
Oh, definitely you will be reborn. But where do you go?
And that will be based on our karma.
Your last thought moment. But are you confident of what you are doing now? Will you have that faith and assurance that you will have better life from now onward?
Well, I think under your guidance, I am following as closely as possible.
Yeah, sadhu. Very good, not bad.
Trying not to
be heedless.
Not to let trigger me.
Correct. Because now we understand the Dhamma, we can make a difference to our life. Do you all agree? If you know the Dhamma and yet you choose not to change, then don't blame anybody for your suffering later on. Understand? Like you say, you are still searching. So now is opportunity to develop understanding. So what you say is true. Why are you born? Because you still have delusion, you still have craving. And that is the one that conditions your rebirth. But not bad, your craving, no matter how it is, you are still born a human being, which is still a very, very rare thing to actually have. And the Buddha mentioned to be born a human being is very rare. And to be born during the sasana, to encounter the Dhamma, is even more rare. So you are, in fact, special. Yeah, really. For you to have such parami, the only thing is you all don't know your past, what you are capable of, what are your great potential. Of course, most of you have a mixture of good and bad. And most of you who can be born as a human being this life and encounter the sasana is because during the previous sasana, one of the sasana, you all have done well. That's why immediately you got sasana, you will be born because of your parami. So this sasana, this life, you do the same. You will have another chance in the next sasana. But why wait until next sasana? Understand? In between, when the sasana is no more, that dark age, I tell you, you will have your what they call ups and downs of life, or they call it yo-yo. Sometimes you deluded, sometimes you a little bit smart, intelligent, or knowledgeable. But most of the time, without Dhamma. So you got mixture of coming. So every time you go through that phase where there is no sasana, you get lost. Sometimes not so badly lost. Sometimes terribly lost. Then coming obstruction, everything. That's why you can't really find a way. So this sasana, you have the condition, and I explain to you how you can prevent all this. So that in future, even no more sasana, you will have this Dhamma understanding when you come. Even when you are forced to come, it means you got no choice. Or later on, when you already quite good in your cultivation, you can choose to come. If you don't have that choice, then you have to come, because karma makes sure you come. When you have to come, you got no choice. So that time, if without sasana, and you didn't make all the preparation, your life will be miserable. It's very difficult. Got sasana also so difficult to understand the teaching, isn't it? The true teaching, I mean. A lot of funny teaching around, even during sasana time. So, do you stand a chance if there is no sasana? You won't stand a chance, even if my nature come, all those great beings' nature come. Do you think you will believe what they tell you? If let's say there is no the prototype of the Buddha's teaching there, or J. Krishnamurti's teaching, then I share with you all the understanding I have. You will say, this brother Theo crazy one. Don't know where he get all this thing from. Book also never, right? There is nobody talking about this. Only he talk about this. Because you got nothing to fall back to. That's why this present existence, initially I was reluctant to share. That's why for 15 years I didn't do anything. 1989 until 2004, until Yun Chan came. Then when I decide to share, it was because the conditions were there. Because it's practically impossible to let people understand. Then I have to come out with some understanding so that people can accept what I teach and what I share. That's why I try to quote the Buddha's teaching. Not to say I need the Buddha's teaching to teach you. But if I don't quote, you think you got faith or not? You won't have faith, isn't it? Then what else can I use? Luckily, J. Krishnamurti got some good teaching. Then Eckhart Tolle. Then some of these, Byron Katie and other things. There are some teachers who can use certain type of the aspect of their understanding. And those understanding match with the Buddha's teaching, the Dhamma. That's why it can bring forth the understanding. And nowadays, you are more fortunate because the Buddhist community somehow tilt towards mindfulness now. You realize that? During the early day, when I wanted to come out and share, everybody is talking about jhana, jnana, and all those things. And mindfulness is seldom emphasized and seldom taught. So these are the reason why when I started the Heart Sutta, I need to go through all those teachings slowly to let people understand the similarity between the Theravada teaching of Sakyamuni and the Heart Sutta. Otherwise, to them, it's like the two teachings is world apart. One is talking about form is emptiness, emptiness is form. The other one talk about anatta, anicchang, dukkang, anatta. So they cannot match. But they didn't see the five aggregate of form and mind. So that's why when I bring out that one, the final summary of the first noble truth, then I link it to the Heart Sutta, then people start to understand. Actually, the two teachings is the same, no different. When you understand anatta, you understand sunyata, which is emptiness, empty nature of existence, no reality. That's why everything is just empty. But empty doesn't mean nothing now. You empty, then people will ask me, but still like that, cultivate for what? Cultivate, I get nothing now. No one enlightened now. So why do I cultivate? Feel that Sakaya Ditti, selfish thought, want to be enlightened. Understand? When you have that thought, you can never be enlightened. Because the enlightened one is without that thought. Understand? It's with the opposite understanding, which is the unconditioned wisdom. So these are the initial encounter that my nature knew I had to slowly resolve them. So that was the reason why I went into all these things, then the introduction and all. But people cannot understand. Then I put forth this question so that people wake up, understand? It's just like the fifth patriarch say, the insistent problem of birth and death, you never look at it. Means what? You take life for granted. You don't know what life is. To you is everybody do that. So you also repeat what other people do. Everything also with delusion. Okay, then the next question is, how we can stop our suffering and find true happiness for ourselves and others? Oh, sorry. Before that, there's another question. What we must do while here? So that one now you understand it. You have to follow the advice of the Buddha, and cultivate this understanding so that you take care of karma, karma take care of your life. So this part already answered what we must do while here so that you are not heedless, foolish, deluded. Then how we can stop our suffering and find true happiness for ourselves and others? How? Anybody want to answer that? Can you stop your suffering? Wow, very good. Get who knocked the head. Can. So nowadays, you seldom suffer. Hardly suffer. Not like before.
No, Li Hun said, I think we are at the best time of our life.
Correct. Golden age. I call it the golden age.
Yeah, come the age, I don't care how people look at me.
Sadhu. So you don't have stress. Isn't it? You don't have problems. And that's all.
So I live life for myself.
And I very good.
And I really try not to let the trigger me. I think they don't trigger me. I'm actually at peace most of the time.
Yeah. So how that trigger you is you like got a tail.
I want to somebody come for meditation and the boss say no. I give her 1 year notice, still no.
So what are you going to do?
So luckily, like you say, I have the wisdom of your side. Don't get angry. So I write very lovely.
So you must have good mind.
Ready, but inside I'm angry. But I write very good.
That reminds me of the Christian pastor. I got a brother-in-law. He wanted to get married, second marriage, where the wife passed away. Then the parent already passed away. So my wife is the eldest sister. So he requested us to represent him as his parent, the eldest. So we went, we go to the church wedding and all those things. Then at the ceremony where they conduct the church ceremony, first time I experienced it. So there was this pastor there, then there is somebody who tied the knot for you, who read the marriage vow for you. Then you vow to love and until and cherish and until death. Before that, you will continue to love and all those things. So after that, the pastor went up. He said, that marriage vow not easy to fulfill, is it? He said, most of the time, we can forgive, but we cannot forget. Exactly. Get who, no? He said, we can forgive him, or her, or the spouse, but you cannot forget what they did to us, Is that forgiveness? You didn't forgive, is it? You still hold on your thought, is it? Like you say, maybe I can read it, love metta, but inside still angry. So, you have to understand, like Eckhart Tolle suddenly realized, he cannot accept how people cheat, lie, he said. Not only people cheat and lie, he said the pastor also lie. The father, the mother also lie. Then the worst one is, he himself also lie. And you know what happened or not when the thought tell him that? Then the wisdom suddenly come out. Hey, means there are two of me inside. One is good. The other one cannot accept what the other one is doing. Then he suddenly realized that there are two of him. So the other one that he cannot accept is the fake one. It's the mundane mind. Because the mundane mind lie, understand? Deceive, cheat with the evil root. But there is something inside him that say he cannot accept this way of living life. Understand? That is his conscience, his true mind. And you know what happened after that? In his book, The Power of Now, he wrote in the first chapter, I remember, or introduction. Straight away, the mind went in, and touched the deeper part of him, and went into that stillness. Then all of a sudden, the mind stopped. Everything stopped. Then it took a while. How long, he didn't say. After that, all of a sudden, when the mind come out again, he became so different. He was in his own room. Everything in the room was so pristine, like he never see before. But he has been living there very long. Then he starts to understand things. Then he starts to become very, very strange. And the reason why he ended up in this is he was a very smart student. He was a PhD student. But he ended up cannot tolerate because he saw the lecturer, everybody also lie and cheat. So he gave up his PhD. Then he entered depression. Then during the depression, this thought came. And he went in, he come out, he become so different. Then according to his record, he sit in the park for 2 years. Doing nothing. But he was so peaceful, so serene, so happy, full of joy. Then people saw him, very strange. How come every day sit in the park so happy? Of course, the mother complained. The mother said, what a waste. PhD student don't finish and end up sitting in the park and doing all this funny thing, go into depression. Then later on, people talk to him. And the funny thing is, when people talk to him at that time, when they quote the Bible, they quote all the religion, he can understand the deep meaning. And he explained back to them, that this is not what you tell me. This word means different, truth. Then after that, people find him very interesting. How come he can understand all those things? That's how later on he became very famous. Then he wrote the book, The Power of Now. Then he became a bestseller for many years. And the mother never dreamed, the son is so smart. Understand? So this is how you cannot understand, you cannot know. The moment you realize you got two minds inside there, that is the beginning of the spiritual cultivation. Means one, deluded one, the mundane mind, the thinking mind, the conditioned mind, the one that have views, opinion, and conditioning, belief system, everything. The other one is the true mind, unconditioned, no thought, nothing one, no emotion, nothing one. that one can transform you. And he can have that experience because he cultivated before. That's why he knows the Bodhisattva way. Later on, he didn't use the word Bodhisattva way. People ask him, what do you think you will do after this life? He said, I have a choice. He tell people, no, I have a choice. I can choose to come back again, is it? Like what I did this life, is it? But I had to suffer the first 20 over years, is it? Before he connect. Oh. He tell people. With that time, he still don't understand. That's why he went through depression, everything. He was like a normal human being. But the moment he connect and he understand, he become different. But he told people, this is his choice. He will continue to come back. That's why he don't speak like a Buddhist. He don't speak like a Bodhisattva. But what he is doing is the Bodhisattva way, where he has the understanding. Through the power of now, the portal of feeling, he went in, the awareness. The silent mind, he's silent. Then he went in. He also understand the thought and all those things. But he give different meaning to the word. Like your emotional negativity. He call it by different word, no? Pain body. He used the word pain body, you know. He said we all human beings who are not enlightened have a lot of pain body. You know why it's pain body or not? When you touch it trigger of pain or no. You understand or not? All your sadness, phobia, negative emotion, these are your pain body. You know? But when there is no condition, nobody trigger off, like your case, nobody press the button, you are peaceful, right? Nobody remind you of all those things. So, he says, sometimes this pain body is dormant, where there is no condition to trigger off. But when there is condition, immediately your emotion, your delusion, your response through memory, all come out and create pain and suffering for you. That's why it will lead you to depression, phobia, and all those things. So through all this, he share and he teach, and people find his teaching very interesting. Where he talk about the power of now. The highest in life is the present moment. That's why after that, a lot of people talk about present moment awareness. Then start to become popular again. Last time when I started sharing and teaching, everybody talk about jhana, jnana, all those things. So it took me a while to introduce this. Then they later on realized, oh, everywhere also sharing about daily mindfulness and all those things. They come back to this understanding. So this is the part. You must develop the understanding. You have two minds. You only familiar with one mind. The mundane mind, the thinking mind. Every time that one create havoc. That one, sometimes people call it the monkey mind. You know what is monkey? Jump here, jump there, and very naughty, or very mischievous. So that one, not easy to train. How to train the monkey? You know how to train the monkey? Give banana, Colin said. But after he take the banana, he become more aggressive. You know what happened when I was young, my son, less than 1 year old, I remember. We took him to Penang, I think Botanical Garden. There's a lot of monkey. So he as a boy, less than 1 year old, he liked to give, I don't know what was it, for the monkey to eat. And he was so naive and so innocent, he thought he give, the monkey should be happy. This monkey become very aggressive. After he got the banana and other food from other people, then my son was holding the thing. Before he give, he came and smash. Then one bite his hand somehow. That's why he cry like anything. See, you go and give, he become more naughty. You cannot give. Monkey need to be trained. How? Tie them rope. Then ask them to climb the coconut tree and pluck coconut. They listen. Yeah, they know you tie them, they cannot run. So your monkey mind, you know how to train or not? Oh, that one is the Sun Wukong one. You haven't seen how people train monkey. They tie the monkey to a pole, understand? They cannot run. No matter how active, run, tired, collapse there. Wait for the owner to come. Ah, then start to listen to the owner. Okay, climb coconut tree, climb. Pluck coconut, pluck. Because cannot run. That's why all these people teach you method, technique, same. Instead of tying you to a pole, they anchor you to an object of meditation, understand not? So that the monkey mind doesn't run, understand not? You understand? That's why they use the object of meditation as a pole to hold you, hold your mind, so that your mind doesn't run. You want to share something? Huh? Yeah.
Yeah. About the monkey mind experience, it's like the monkey can really, like a remote control to the feeling and the emotion.
Yeah.
Because
correct.
Like, example, if I think my boss don't appreciate me.
I change the battery already.
I think, okay. So if I think my boss don't appreciate, I give notice also don't appreciate me. Then it trigger. Okay. So if I choose to believe that I expect her to appreciate my 1 year notice, I expect her to understand me. I work so hard for her, she should care for me. If I think like that, then the boiling start, like automatic it will boil. But when I start to think, oh, today maybe she wake up wrong side of the bed, she got in a car accident, she come to work, she react like that, just the wrong timing. Then suddenly all gone, like remote control, flip the other way. I start to think, maybe she childhood, she got trauma lah. Taking leave is something wired into her as a very bad thing.
Yeah.
But I think that way straight away, the monkey behave differently.
Correct. This is the skillful means, born of understanding and wisdom. I remember Ajahn Jagaro spoke the same. This one is a very good example. Ajahn Jagaro, he shared it with us. When he was in Thailand, when he was a monk early on, you know who is Ajahn Jagaro or not? He is the abbot before Ajahn Brahm. You all know Ajahn Brahm, isn't it? He was the abbot before him. They all both together. He is more senior. And there is some special affinity my nature had with him. That's why when he came, I actually listened to his talk. I was that time at Brickfield. That was about 30 over years ago too. Then somehow we become quite close. And he liked me. Then I become his kapya when he went up to Malacca and all those things. Then later on I met him in Melbourne again. Then he invited me to Perth, Serpentine, where the monastery is and all things. So he was sharing his experience. He said, as a young monk, he renounced under Ajahn Chah, the forest tradition. So Ajahn Chah, the way he trained the new monk, especially Western monk, he put them at Wat Pat Nanachat, the Western disciple there. Then this Ajahn Jagaro, he got the good karma initially to follow Ajahn Chah back to his monastery. So he was training under Ajahn Chah's monastery, I think, if I'm not wrong, is Wat Papong. So when he was there for about 2-3 years, then one day Ajahn Chah told him, it's about time you go somewhere else. And you know where he sent him? To a very remote monastery, far away from Bangkok. But he didn't know Ajahn Chah was monitoring him through the monk there, which is also Ajahn Chah's disciple. So when he was there, he complained like mad, no? Because he was a PhD student, first class honors, no? And you know why he became monk, no? He told me, he said, at first I got this high ideal or belief, that if I can get my PhD training under a Nobel Prize winner, no, I will be very, very grateful, very happy, and I will do well. So he finally got it, though, because he first class on a very good result. Then when he was with the professor, at first he has great hope. I tell. Then one day after getting to know the professor long enough, he realized the professor was very intellectual, but on the marriage life he failed miserably. The wife cannot get along with him. He becomes so depressed, so unhappy, he go and drink. Then there were occasions where he can't find him. Then he asked around, people say he's at the pub. Then when he saw him like a drunkard there, you know what happened to his conscience? Suddenly deep inside, I tell him, I said, I don't want to end up like the professor. And you know what he did? He gave up his PhD. Like Eckhart Tolle, he doesn't want to continue. Then he went all over to search for truth, like you say, still searching. But he's serious. He searched everywhere, he ended up in Thailand. Then he became monk for 16 years. After that, they offered him the piece of land in Serpentai, the temple. Then he went back. He was an Italian, very smart guy. Then he said, after that third year, when he was sent to the remote town, you know what he complained about? Like my daughter told you about the boss. He complained about Ajahn Chah. No? He said, how can Ajahn Chah do that to me? He know I'm a Westerner. I came here with such sincerity. I came here to seek the Dharma, to learn the teaching, to be enlightened. But he sent me to such a ulu place. No? And every day he dreamed of Ajahn Chah visiting that temple and taking him back. No? But Ajahn Chah never come for one over a year. No? And he was miserable. No? Then he said at that time, he cannot cultivate. No? Everything that he was told to do, the temple is so small, so remote, so rural. And the food also no good. And a lot of mosquitoes, is it? Like a B-52 bomber that come non-stop on. So he was having miserable life, you know, because the thought thing negative. Then later on, one day he got the good news. You know, Ajahn Chah is visiting the monastery, you know, the remote small one. Wow, he looked forward to that day. You know. He was sitting there patiently, and he received Ajahn Chah, trying to hint to Ajahn Chah, when can I go back? Then Ajahn Chah just like acknowledged him and said, don't worry, he said. He said, don't worry. Then he sat there. No? Then all the monks were there. Because Ajahn Chah come, you know, lay people also a lot. So he wanted to talk to him. No? But he got no chance. No? After his Dhamma talk, the lay people one by one want to make offering to him. No? You know the usual thing. Then until late, middle in the night. No? Then while he was sitting there listening to Ajahn Chah, of course, initially, he was happy. But you know what happened when the mosquito come? He got very agitated, no? Very, very agitated, no? Very miserable. Then as he was developing this wrong thought and unhappiness within, complaining, why the lay people of all time, last time don't want to come, support, now Ajahn Chah come, only they come, and all this negative thing. No? Then he with the mosquito, worse, he said. And suddenly he was listening to Ajahn Chah. Then he realized what Ajahn Chah was saying. You know? Like what I told you. Yeah? Your life, you decide to be miserable or to be happy. It's entirely your choice. Then he checked with mindfulness. He realized, I'm creating my own hell, my own suffering, my own misery through what? Wrong thought. And he decided to reverse it. You know, how he did it or not? He said, this mosquito is not bad, he said. At least they come, I can donate blood, dana, endurable. Then he said, these lay people, they don't have chance to meet Ajahn Chah. Now that Ajahn Chah come, it's reasonable that they come. They should come, he said. Then they can develop merits and all these things. Then for me, Ajahn Chah is my teacher. I can talk to him after they go back and all those things. Then he realized, all of a sudden, the agitation, the negativity, oh God, no. Then he realized for the first time in his life as a monk, no, at that time he was a young monk, This is what the noble truth is all about. This is what the teaching is all about. Wrong thought. What is wrong thought? Thought that condition your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, your misery, your unhappy. These are all wrong thought. And what are you supposed to do with this wrong thought? Huh? Right effort to abandon them. And you are not doing it, no. And you call yourself the disciple of the Buddha, no. You got such face to call yourself a Buddhist practitioner. I feel shameful, no, if I were you. At least to be worthy of the Buddha means to be a true Buddhist devotee or a practitioner or follower of the Buddha's teaching. You must at least, the minimum, what? Follow his advice, isn't it? True or not? You can't even follow his advice. You want to say you are his disciple, his devotee. What is going on? That's why this Achan Jagaro, from there, he become very different. No? Then after that, Achan Cha also knew. Okay, you are ready. You can follow me back. That's how he became very good. Then his Thai was very good. No? After that, you know, whatever. The Thai people love him like anything. He spoke Dhamma in Thai. No? And he was so fluent. No? So when I went to the airport and sent him over, he asked me, if you can come, you come. He said, then he's supposed to give me the address of his temple. You know? So I went and visited him. Subang Airport. You know? I was so surprised. You know? That time, the airport's still there. When I went there, wow, he got so much follower and supporter from Thailand. You know? The whole place was full. You know? And they were all listening to his Dhamma talk in Thai. Then when I went and approach him, then I pay my respect to him. Wow, he saw me. You know, he said, come, 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 till I introduce you to my friend. I also become famous after that. So that was how he became very different. So understanding the Dhamma is very easy. You remember what I advised you? Every time you are unhappy and not peaceful, the evil roots are there. The wrong thoughts are there. You understand? And that is how you learn. Achan Cha learned, my daughter learned. Because you hold the key to your own life destiny. Why you always go and think the wrong thought? Just like what happened to Alicia. 16 years in depression. And how she come out of it. Because she realized after attending my class for the first few sessions, she realized all the thought that she was creating was all wrong thought, selfish thought, negative thought. None of these are wholesome thought. She got no love, nothing. Then she starts to reverse. She starts to have this joy, happiness, to do something to help people, to benefit people. No more of those negative thoughts. Then cultivate respect, gratitude, contentment. Perform wholesome action to help people and do wholesome things, be of service to people. Then he realized the joy came back, you know, the heart opened up. You know. That's how you cultivate. The four right effort is very important. First right effort to abandon the wrong thought that has arisen so that you don't create any more suffering for yourself. Then when you can do that, you develop the understanding that this is the result of wrong thought, born of wrong view. Then the next right effort is prevent it from arising. During the next time when you want to arise, you know, Alicia told me, direct from her own direct experience, she told me, Brother Teo, you're so interesting. After I have understood this, when that old habitual tendency of wrong thought come, inside he tell the wrong thought, you again want to make me miserable again. I am not going to listen to you anymore. Pop the wrong thought gone. Understand not? Because you have already suffered long enough, understand not? Through delusion, through ignorance. So when you see all this, you can have the power to abandon it. Straight away it is. Because you understand he has tormented you for so long. You still want it to torment you or not? Huh? You don't want it, eh? A very good example is what? Like this one, let's say, molten hot, red hot, boiling. You don't know. Like a small boy, you don't know. You go and touch. Then you kena burn. Next time, I tell you, you see this container, even not hot, you will not go near. You understand? That is what Dhamma cultivation is. Once bitten, twice shy, you will never touch it again. Understand? It's just like Krishnamurti. You know what he say? If you know that the cobra is so poisonous, can kill you, you still dare to go near and disturb the cobra. You will never be so foolish anymore. Dhamma is the same. When you wake up, means when you understand, you will never be deluded and foolish anymore. You can never fall into the same trap. So these are very good examples. Yeah? So that you learn.
The part I said, I feel like remote control is because there was one time I was really getting angry already. Then I thought the opposite thought. Then I realized the angry went away. Then I tried to think again. I think again the bad thought. Wow, the anger come back. This was the experiment. Like within 1 minute, get angry, okay. Get angry, okay. Like remote control. Just the thought can change me so much. So that's why I felt like, wow, this thought really remote, the monkey mind remote control, control the whole body.
And you apply the paticca samuppada, you see it. What did the Buddha say? Avijja paccaya sankhara. Ignorant condition, mental activity, thinking. And this thinking will proliferate, understand or not? That's why we call it the mind starts to concocting. Sankhara sanya. Perceive through wrong view, react. Then you become emotional. So upon contact, feeling arise. Then when you input the content of consciousness with wrong thought, the feeling, condition, emotion, craving, understand? Like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant. Then most of it is unhappy feeling, sadness. That's why she can see, like remote control, arise. Then no more wrong thought, cease. So how did the anger, the emotion, the unhappiness arise? Due to your wrong thought. So what must you do? Straighten your view, isn't it? Then when you understand, do you want to torment yourself and make yourself miserable? You will never go and think the wrong thought anymore. Yeah? You will never think the selfish thought, the angry thought, the emotional thought, the deluded thought. You know all this lead to suffering, root of all evil, make you evil, cause your karmic downfall, and lead to suffering. This is what Dhamma is all about. Not like the book. What are the three evil roots? Greed, hatred, delusion. Like that, how to cultivate when come to realize what is greed also you don't know. Arise until you get angry, violent already, doing all those foolish things, right? You still cannot see. And yet you say you are a Dhamma practitioner. You are a Vipassana meditator. And you go retreat year in, year out, all those things. I 20 years, no. You how long? Then sometimes they will ask you, like last time I was invited to teach somewhere, then somebody come and talk to me, Then he said, you dare to teach? I also dare not teach. What jhana you have? I say, I got no jhana. No jhana you want to teach? I say, I teach what I understand. This type of thing is very common. Do you understand? So when you understand, you develop the understanding to reverse all this, then you come out of it, you become free. But luckily, this life, I don't have to do all those things. Because I already done in the past. So this life, I come, I see, straight away I understand, I hear truth, I understand. Then all these things doesn't have any condition to affect my life at all. That's why since birth until now, like my life is very, very blessed. Very, very, you can say lucky, but nothing to do with luck. Like everything go my way, And there is a lot of joy. Then I realized I didn't do anything. Well, everything was already conditioned for it to be this way because of the understanding before I come. Well, I choose to come this way. That's why it's very different. So all this understanding, your form and mind, when it connect, when it come to the understanding, you will recall all this that you have developed and cultivated. So that part is beautiful. Yeah? Okay, we better continue. Otherwise, we still at page 11. Okay, that one done. Okay, the next one is, How to stop suffering, you know, huh? Wrong thought, abandon it. Prevent it from arising, then cultivate the right effort for right thought. Then the five ways to overcome unwholesome thought. That one, we will come to it later on. Yeah? Yeah, that is the five ways the Buddha teach to abandon wrong thought for meditation. Then the next one is what? What is death? Who died? What died? Yeah. Who want to try to answer that? What is death? Very easy, isn't it? The condition that supported the life of the human being are what? The three things, isn't it? What are the three things? Life force, a physical body, yeah? And a consciousness inside. So these three, any of them gone, you are dead. The human being is gone. Because it's condition arising, causal phenomena. So when any of the condition that support cease, it ceases. That's why when destructive karma come, the life force cease. The heart cannot pump, you die. So to me, death is very simple. No one die, nothing die. But it's just separation of consciousness from the form. When the consciousness cannot stay inside, it's separate. Then you say die. Where God die? That random of consciousness still there, looking at you. Listening to what you are doing, you somehow don't know. Especially your mother-in-law. You somehow go and talk about the bad thing. You say, oh, last time my mother-in-law, last time he did it. I tell you, he's at the side listening to all these things that you say, the bad thing. That's why don't simply say things. Don't assume they die already, no more. They are still around. But it's in a different form. So who died? What died? The form of mind, not me, you are. True or not? Then, did you die? That's why you never die. No one die. What dies? Separation of consciousness from the form. Nothing die. Then you go to Thailand, they say, my die. Means I don't understand. Every time you go to Thailand, die, my die. Okay, then the next one. Who are you? What are you? Go and read the green book at the back. What is life? How to understand its meaning and purpose? You go to some of the talk that I delivered. I delivered many times. I deliver in Klang, I deliver in Subangjaya. That topic, what is life? Its meaning and purpose is very deep, you know. And very interesting, I tell you. Have you all really gone into it? What is life? Is there a purpose in life? Huh? You all never contemplate into all this. Do you understand the purpose and meaning of life or not? First, you must understand life, isn't it? You don't understand life, then how can you talk about purpose and meaning? True or not? Then you must know who are you and what are you there. Otherwise, how can you know what you want and what you don't want? So all these things is a very, very important inquiry that each and every individual has to go into it for you to develop the understanding of life, of who you are, what you are. So when I share that topic, I always ask this question. If you don't know who you are, what you are, then the next question I want to ask you is, who is living your life? You can follow or not? Because you don't even know who you are, what you are. Then who is living your life? Of course you tell me my thought. And the thought is not you, no. Then why do you allow the thought to live your life? Why do you allow the wrong thought to make you miserable? That's why with this wisdom, you unlock the mystery of life. Then you come to realize, if the thought is not me, then who am I? What am I? Five aggregate of form, am I human being? Also not me, you know. So who am I? What am I? Then I say, you are the true mind, the true nature. That one cannot come out and live life. That one got no entity. That's why don't be deluded. Then who are you? What are you? You are nothing. You are nobody. And now, you go into deep, you confuse again. Okay, we go on. Page 12. Why must we also study the six patriarch platform sutta? See, these people, when they come to the class, they are not people who follow what you share with them or no. They ask question or no. Heart sutta, go and share six patriarch platform sutta. Understand or not? Now you listen to the answer. As the Heart Sutta teaching is so profound because it's beyond thought, beyond mind, and beyond the conditioned world, hence we need to understand the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta, especially so the two famous poems as written by Sun Xiu and Hui Neng. Only then can we go beyond mind to understand the Heart Sutta, which is so abstract and like with the saying, like, form is emptiness. Emptiness is form. Therefore, in emptiness, there is no form, feeling, etc. Actually, it's in true emptiness. Eh? No eye, no ear, and all those things. Up to the feel. No feel of mind consciousness. No ignorance or ending of ignorance. Up to and including no old age, sickness, and death. And or ending of it. And even no Four Noble Truths, and no understanding, and no attaining, etc. So all this I have already explained. The Heart Sutta is the unconditioned. That's why all those that exist in the conditioned world doesn't exist there. And that is the wisdom, the true wisdom of the unconditioned world that can deal with the conditioned world. Otherwise you will be deluded, deceived, and you will suffer. That's why you must have wisdom of the unconditioned and the wisdom of the conditioned world, which is the essential Dhamma. Then this one is the unconditioned Dhamma. So when you understand both, you know how to live. Life becomes wonderful. Otherwise, you cannot live. Because there are two aspects. You know. One aspect recognizes relationship. You know. The other aspect is anatta, you know, non-self. You know. He know you, he know me. You know. Then how to reconcile? You can even question the Buddha. No? He teach non-self anatta. No? But yet he tells us, we, each and every one of us, we are born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of karma. So, he said non-self, not you. And yet he said, you are born of your karma, heir to your karma. So, who is right, who is wrong? You mean the Buddha is wrong? He lie. He where got lie? When he say you means your form and mind, understand? That form and mind is subject to karma. That one is born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. And that one is what it is because of karma. But the unconditioned, this is not you. This is dependent originating, conditioned arising, not a permanent unchanging entity. They say this is anatta, he know you, he know me. But this one, even though not you, it is connected to your nature, your karmic nature, that conditioning out. And through this, you can realize the truth, awaken, connect to the true mind, the gateway and all those things. That's why it's not so straightforward. It involves understanding the unconditioned. It involves understanding the conditioned world, the form and mind. Then they are all related. So if you don't have this understanding, you become very confused. You become very rigid. You use knowledge, rationalize things, and try to understand things that is beyond thought, beyond mind. So how can you use thought, mind, and idea, or concept, and words to understand something that is beyond thought, beyond mind? Like the enlightenment, the cessation of form and mind, the unconditioned, you can't. That's why it's not so straightforward. And in that sense, it's not easy. But for those who have understood, it's very clear and very easy. No contradiction at all. Everything is just the way it is. Okay? So we go on. 1.3. Six Patriarchs Platform Sutta. Based on his poem then, Sun Xiu has yet to realize the true mind, hence his inability to comprehend the higher Dhamma as realized by Hui Neng. The reason being he is using the mundane mind to cultivate, hence the delusion. In my second and third heart sutta class recap, I delve in more detail into Huineng's platform sutta, and I also taught you how to use form. Sorry, how to see form. The unreality of form is condition arising or impermanent nature, and is non-self or empty nature, so as to enable you to develop the wisdom to finally see beyond form. This is then followed by the same understanding that all the other four aggregates of mind, Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, and Vijnana, are also impermanent, cause suffering, and are empty. Only then can you start to develop the understanding of why form am I. Form is empty and emptiness is form. Form is emptiness and emptiness is form. Then the mundane life with and without the spiritual understanding. We can be very successful in life, both financially and career-wise. Means both of these are mundane aspects of life. But without the spiritual understanding, we are still vulnerable, and many things can still afflict us, especially so the First Noble Truth, 8 conditions, which are also the realities of life and existence. This is the reason why the Buddha renounced the world. Once he saw the foresight of an old man, a very sick man, a dead man, and a samana, or a renounced holy person in Rome. The then Buddha-to-be realized that he had a problem with regards to old age, sickness, and death. Hence, he seeked the spiritual understanding to gain the wisdom to free himself from this problem. He then developed the spiritual understanding and became a Sammasambuddha beneath the Bodhi tree. Without the true spiritual understanding or wisdom, one cannot be free from all suffering, where one can still have fear, worry, and anxiety, etc., via one's own delusion, which will condition one to cling onto and grasp at one's 5 aggregate of form and mind. Hence, one should realize the importance of cultivating the spiritual understanding via meditation as taught by the Buddha, to enable one to live the noble life of love, peace, joy, and harmony. Only then is there no more fear, worry, anxiety, unhappiness, and suffering, etc. The spiritual understanding will lead to non-delusion and wisdom, enabling one to clearly understand who you are, what you are, and how human beings function, and eventually leading to enlightenment in the here and the now. So this part is very important. Then the next page. Regarding the four signs, do you understand why the Buddha decided to renounce or not? You have seen a lot of this as an old man, a sick man, and a dead man. But how come you don't have that thought to renounce and search for truth? Do you understand why the Buddha did that? Because when that person who actually accompanied him, the one that actually helped to take care of him, what is his, how you name him? What do you call that person? That person who cared for him and took him out of the palace to see the foresight. And never mind, we call him the attendant. So the attendant that attended him, when he took him out, he saw a very old person, very, very haggard, very weak. No, the palace, the father already been forewarned. Once he see this four sign, he will renounce. Your son will no longer be a universal monarch. He will be a universal teacher. So the father warned the subject, all the four palace cannot have old people. Cannot have. No, the king was not old at that time. The time Sakyamuni was just, I think, how many years old? He renounced 29 years old. So, Where got old? Huh? But you don't look old, right? Because the father also know how to make up. And so what happened was, when he went out with the attendant was together with him. He said, "Who is this person? How come he look like that? So haggard and all." Then the attendant said, "He's an old man." "What is the meaning of old man?" Then the attendant told him, "Each and every one of us, if we live long enough, one day we will be like him. So old, so haggard." Then he realized he got a problem. All the happiness that he has from the father is not going to last. Sooner or later, I have a problem. When I grow old, how? I'm like this person, full of problems. All my senses are failing me. I'm so fragile, so weak, bedridden and everything. Then the next one he saw was a person who is so sick, almost dying. Then he asked the attendant again, "How come this person is like that?" He says, "A sick person, very sick." "What do you mean by sick?" Yeah, he cannot understand. He said, "One day when we grow old, we will fall sick. And when we fall sick, we will be like him." Well, he know he got another problem already. He cannot resolve. So he knew it is serious. Then the last one wake him up. This one is a dead man. "Then why did they burn him and cremate?" "Well, he's dead already. What do you mean by dead?" "Dead means no more life." He doesn't understand. "You mean one day I will die? Then all this got no meaning." That's why he has problem. He wants to overcome OA, sickness and death. Then he saw a samana, a holy man. And he believed this is the way to seek the answer. That's why he went all over and searched. Then he learned meditation under two famous teachers, Alara and Udaka. Then when he reached that stage of jhana that they are able to attain, the 7 and the 8 formless jhana, and they told him this is the highest. He told them, "This is not what I am seeking. It may be the highest, but I still have a problem. I will still grow old, get sick and die." That's why the two teachers cannot help him. Then he went on his own. Then underneath the Bodhi tree, after he meditated, when he connected and he understood everything, his problem gone. You know why his problem gone? Huh? Why? What is there to accept? The wisdom tell him, this form of mind is not me. You understand or not? When this one is not me, this one get old, get sick and die, got nothing to do with me. You understand or not? Where got problem? Take care of that. It's not you. That one is element. Go the way of nature. You understand or not? Then when death come, nothing die. No one dies. Separation of consciousness from the form. So you will come with another form of mind. So what you need is take care of karma, means you have the merits. It's like your spiritual money. So this car, old junk already, what you do? Condemn lah. Understand? Beyond economical repair lah. So what you do? You condemn? Buy new car lah. True or not? But got money, you only can buy new car. No? Got money or not? That is your mundane analogy. Understand or not? The driver, he got money, he can buy new car, like you can buy new car. Understand or not? But if that driver is like our form of mind, after separate, cannot go and buy new car. You have to take rebirth to have a new car. Understand or not? So, during that time, you don't have spiritual wealth, spiritual money, you don't have the cultivation, you think what type of car you will get? You will get maybe Ojang, or sometimes no car. Then you walk, Volkswagen, walking car. So, it's an analogy. If you have the spiritual wealth, you take care of karma, you will guarantee a good rebirth. Then you will have a new vehicle, a new tool, a new form of mind that is conducive for you to have the good life, to live the good life. But if you don't take care, you will be born into hell beings, understand? All the betas and all those things, suffering beings. This is what karma will take you to. So the Buddha underneath the Bodhi tree realized that this form of mind is not him. That's why his problem gone. He got no more problem with old age, sickness and death. He accepted that reality. That's why under the five contemplation, he tell you to contemplate every day. This body of mind is of the nature to grow old, get sick and die. For it has not gone beyond old age, sickness and death. But it's not you. So accept that reality. So that when you go through old age, sickness and pending death, you got no fear. You got no delusion. You are not panicky. Because you understand what is going on. That is the secret of the Dhamma, the understanding. That's why you must take care of karma. Karma take care of your life. And this is not easy to understand. There are a lot of people who are deluded, foolish. You know what they say? Hey, Ratio, anatta la, non-self la. I enjoy first la. Then after that, die, another one suffer la. Got logic or not? Huh? Logical or not? Another being suffer la, not me la. Huh? You agree la? Because as long as there is delusion, you will believe that is you, understand or not? Even you take rebirth, that one can be another consciousness, another form of mind, karmically conditioned out, but that being will suffer. Because that being is connected to the same karmic nature, understand or not? So not what you think. No. This like Kiat Hun, another life maybe Rose Chong or Rosemary something. No, it's a karmic nature. You know what is karmic nature? No. Karmic nature is the summation. You see, you have this. You are a science student here. Summation. You understand this sign or not? Summation of all your segmented line.
Segmented
means
many, many
lines. Every segment.
You can be a frog, you can be a dog.
Yeah. And you also can be a deva, understand? Then you got potential. Why must you remember? Every life you come, you take one segment. Every life you come, you take one segment. And the Buddha said you have been born, die for aeons and aeons and aeons. So which one is you? None of them are you. Understand? So this summation become your karmic nature. Karmic nature. So you have a nature specific to you. Because all these are your segmented life. Understand? Segmented life. L-I-V-E. F-E. Oh, got S or not? Okay, never mind. So this become your karmic nature. And there's a summation of all your whatever karmic volition, mental intention of every life, become your karmic nature. And this karmic nature is a nature, no? It's not an individual. No? This one cannot come out and live life. No? But this one can condition a form of mind to come to this existential world. Due to your delusion. Nothing to do with that. The karmic nature is a summation of all this. That nature is just like Buddha nature, understand or not? Like your spiritual nature. It's a nature, understand or not? It's not an individual, understand or not? It's not really you, understand or not? But this nature is peculiar to all your birth and death. You understand? Why you cannot follow? It's so simple. Summation. My daughter will explain to you.
I remember one example from previous retreat. They try to put an analogy of a cup of water. So every time Karma, bad karma, you imagine salt. You add salt, become salty water, harder to drink. Every time you have good karma, you add more water, not so salty, easier to drink. So this cup of water, every life, you're drinking from it, you're adding to it, you're drinking from it, you're adding to it. This cup of water.
If less salt means more drinkable, and so means your life is more tolerable. Boleh tahan.
Every life you're going to drink from this same cup. This is the one.
Nothing to do with where you are born. You think only Earth. You can be don't know which corner of the universe.
Every life is like a borrowed, like this entity now. The body is on loan for maybe 60 years. I don't know how long this body will last. Valid period, I give you a valid period. You're this entity, your consciousness, and this body is on loan to you for these 60 years maybe to live your life. Then it's gone, your validity expire, you go. Then you take another loan. If still got water, take another loan, drink again. Something like that. Then even what defines you, like what defines Tracy, Sui now, right? 30 years ago, what defines Tracy, Sui back then, and what defines me is different. Different person entirely. You look at me 10 years ago, 10 years later, 30 years ago, 30 years later.
Yeah, every moment you are different.
What defines me, nothing, even my cell have changed one whole shot, all the cells that make up my body all change one round, two round, three round already.
Yeah.
So what is me? What am I actually? Moment to moment. Every moment, every moment is a new moment. Yeah. Then everything that passed. Summation, this whole cup. Because now, everything I do now is now. Everything that's passed, I can only recall.
And that one, the Buddha already told you that you are born of your karma. Heir to your karma condition, support the world karma, and you are what you are, your karma. So everything is from that karmic nature, understand or not? That's why you have to tell yourself, if that is the case, what must you do? You must take care of karma for you to have a good life. That is what the teaching is all about. So karmic nature is just to explain to you that you have a nature which is unique to yourself. But just like I was trying to check, not to say check, to stimulate your understanding, I say a lot of people who are deluded, they become very cunning. They say, but why worry? Now I do all the nonsense. I create all the karmic, but I enjoy now. Later on, somebody else suffers. So it's not me. Yeah? Non-self, anatta, another birth, another being. But the reality is different. Because even though you take birth, you means the karmic form of mind, understand or not? Like the Buddha said, you are born of karma, is referring to the form of mind. So this form of mind and that form of mind is connected, related. But it comes from the same karmic nature. You understand? That's why it is no such thing as another person suffer. The same karmic nature, the same delusion will suffer inside that. Understand? You cannot run. That's why you're born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. You are what you are because of your karma. Okay? Cannot understand, never mind. No need to understand. Because you are thinking too hard. Don't think. Just listen. Then, whatever you understand, try your best to develop the stability of that understanding. If you cannot, don't think too hard. Just based on what you understand, cultivate. After you transform, you will understand. Before that, it's very difficult. Like primary school student, you go and teach him form 5, form 6 type of syllabus. He sure look at you like you shake head. God like that or not? How come? But when the primary school student, reached form 5, then he realized, last time that guy told me, correct or not, got add maths or not, got physics, got chemistry, got biology. Or then he go university, got higher maths or more. And then he can agree with you, understand? Not? But if he has not gone through, it's like you now. Because you can't, because it's beyond. So forget about understanding now. Just open mind. Then continue with your cultivation, then listen attentively and try your very best to develop the understanding. Now, over time, after a while, when you seriously go back and read the note or re-listen to what I share, it will go in when your faith is there, when your understanding is there. Okay? And then we have to go on, otherwise we will be stuck again. Okay, we are at the last paragraph. Spiritual understanding. Okay. Then, the Buddha, to be realized he has a problem, he then developed the spiritual understanding and became a Sammasambuddha underneath the Bodhi tree. Without a true spiritual understanding or wisdom, one cannot be free of all suffering. Or one can still have fear, worry, anxiety, etc. Okay, this one all we have covered. Hence, one should realize the importance of cultivating the spiritual understanding. Okay. We are meditation as taught by the Buddha to enable us to live the noble life of love, peace, joy, and harmony. Only then is there no more fear, worry, anxiety. Oh, this one all covered already. So the spiritual understanding will lead to non-delusion and wisdom, enabling one to clearly understand who you are, what you are, and how human beings function, and eventually leading to enlightenment in the here and now. So all this covered. 1.4. The importance of understanding Dhammapada verse 1, 2, 1, 8, 3, 21, 22, 23, all covered already. And the final advice of the Buddha also covered. Once one comprehends this verse, one will understand the importance of training the mind to be heedful and ever mindful. One will like wake up from the deluded dream state. We are seeing the danger of heedlessness, and one will then be very serious about life to develop the cultivation. So this is what you should develop as understanding. The danger of letting the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, which are the root of all evil, from manifesting in your heart. So the moment you are mindful, you detect them, you have to root it out, you have to abandon it. Otherwise, you will become evil. It will lead to karmic downfall. Then the importance of arising the four right effort to root out the three evil roots and the five mental hindrance. So this one I have already shared. Then the last one is the importance of cultivating the five spiritual faculty to overcome the five mental hindrance of mind. So this one also taught on the first day already. Then the note. Under Kaya Nupassana, there is a category of cultivation called Sati Sampajana, mindfulness, and the four type of clear comprehension of every action and movement in the present moment. This is the most important cultivation needed to stabilize one's sati or mindfulness via the daily mindfulness cultivation. Hence, this is the reason why Bradshaw always say, life itself is the real meditation and life is our true teacher. Because you look at the Noble Eightfold Path, every path factor involves life. So when you cultivate that, you are actually going into life. That's why life itself is the real meditation. So this daily mindfulness will enable you to develop the wisdom and the awakening when you go through life. The four types of clear comprehension are sincerity of purpose, domain of meditation, suitability, and clear comprehension of non-delusion. This one also I covered earlier. Domain of meditation means one can meditate in any posture, anywhere, any place, and any time, under any circumstances. Anything, external form, that is created by mind via perception is only a mental image. It comes and it goes, hence it's impermanent, not so real and empty. To cling onto it is obviously a delusion. Form is never a problem if we know how to use the mind without any attachment and delusion to understand it. Cultivating the three turning of the Four Noble Truths. as taught by the Buddha, leading to the three types of corresponding wisdom called Suttamaya Panya, Chintamaya Panya, and Bhavanamaya Panya is very important. For detail, please refer to my brother Teo's Dhamma notes on understanding the meditation as taught by the Buddha. This is the earliest book on all the email compilation. I think, if I'm not wrong, it's available at the back there. I'm not very sure. If not, you go to the website. Click on it. Okay, next page. Fourth Heart Sutta lesson. Emphasis on the previous lesson. Emptiness or shunyata is a term frequently used in the Mahayana tradition versus the term non-self or anatta in Pali, which is the equivalent term that is frequently used in the Theravada tradition. Importance of understanding why our physical form and all external form can also be expressed as form is impermanent brings about suffering if we deludedly cling onto it without understanding its empty or anatta nature. To understand it clearly, we must have the ability to see its manifestation via mind's perception with clear mindfulness, to cognize it as condition arising entity. Hence, it's not a permanent and changing entity that we can cling on to or hold on to as the I and the me, or own as the mind. Thus, seeing it as empty, sunyata or anatta, because it has no apparent reality. Also, a cultivator need to understand the wisdom to understand why form is external manifestation of mind via a clear and very stable daily mindfulness. So all these form that you come to perceive, they are actually external manifestation of mind. You know, without mind to perceive, they don't exist. You can understand, Okay. Form delusion can be very powerful. Hence, if you can't see form, you can't see mind. Because form is much grosser, whereas mind is very subtle. However, with wisdom born of the direct seeing, form and mind delusion will cease to be, leading to enlightenment in the here and the now. Definition of a samana. A samana is a renounced holy person in robe, seriously cultivating the Buddha Dhamma as taught by the Buddha. He or she is also usually referred to as the one who is already enlightened. The term is used as opposed to the other term, Brahmin, who studied the Vedas during the time of Sakyamuni Buddha. This one is the Hindu cultivation. To a samana, spiritual understanding is very important because without spiritual understanding, one cannot be free. One cannot understand the problem and reality of life and existence. There is a recently printed Dhamma book for free distribution by Wave with the title Samana. I think this one is about the life history of Achan Mahabhoa or Long Ta Mahabhoa. I written here on the life of the late Long Ta Mahabhoa. Our Kalyanamitra Fund has also donated towards his printing for free distribution. Hence, we are given some copy of this book for free distribution from Wave. And anyone who is interested in having a copy can request it from me. I still have a few copies. Then in the recap, the theory emphasizes on the following important Dhamma. The importance of understanding true emptiness is wonderful existence leading to the ability to live life meaningfully and to the fullest. True blessing comes from our own cultivation. We are karmic inheritance and nothing else. That is, not due to your luck or feng shui. the importance of cultivating a very stable sati or mindfulness leading to heedfulness or apamada throughout the day. So this one is daily mindfulness. Number 4, importance of repentance and asking for forgiveness sincerely. When you forgive someone, you actually free yourself from the evil roots of anger, hatred, and delusion. Part 2. Master Sun Hoh's very unique birth and life history. On Kuan Yin Bodhisattva's birthday, the master dreamt that an old lady wearing a patch robe and a string of beads appeared to guide him. This unique birth and life history of Master Sun Hoh provided a condition for Brother Teo to also share a bit of his unique spiritual affinity and encounter with Kuan Yin Bodhisattva in his early days. And the details are as described by him during the sharing on that day. For detail, please refer to the web link that contains the recording as produced by that time Sui An was helping to make them. In 1986, Brother Teo and his whole family took refuge under Master Sun Hoh. And apart from taking the 5 precepts, the other condition is to finish the 10,000 bow of reciting homage to my original teacher, Namo Sakyamuni Buddha. So this one we chant in Mandarin, Namo Bun Si Sakyamuni Fo. So every time I recite a bow, then I recite a bow. So this one has to be done within 3 months. But I did it in less than 2 months. So according to Brother Teo, this bowing, if done mindfully and with very strong faith, or sadha and virya, or the spiritual zeal, can lead to a very stable daily mindfulness very quickly. Actually, that bowing helped me at that time when I did it. I just bow until the body and mind become one, until that sati came. Then all of a sudden, I realize what sati is. Then after that, when I come out of it, my daily mindfulness become like continuous, very different. But before that, I already have the ability to develop the meditative understanding through anapanasati to realize the true mind, the silent mind. So these are the conditions behind. So when that happened, together with the bowing, the daily mindfulness just came. Okay, there's a question. Is bowing another technique to develop mindfulness that is similar to walking and sitting meditation? So what do you think? So it's just a skillful mean to train your mind to be mindful, to be aware. So you do it. Instead of just the 4 posture, you can use bowing. You know, when you are able to do this reverential salutation or bowing, there is a lot of benefits. The benefits of bowing. What are the benefits? Oh, so fast, 3 o'clock already. Now the next meditation is 1.5 hours. And I know initially most of you cannot even last 1 hour. So I will steal a bit of time. Oh, I give you 1 hour only. Now I steal 10 minutes. Okay, I read to you the answer, then easier to understand. The understanding of it is very important. There is not much meaning to your cultivation if you just follow instruction without understanding. You must understand why you bow and what you are doing in the name of meditation. That is, do not just follow instruction to do certain thing via any method or technique, etc., thinking that when you are doing all that, then you are meditating. The real meditation as taught by the Buddha cannot begin unless one has developed the training of the mind to be heedful. with sati or mindfulness within. The various objects of meditation used in conjunction with the various method and technique are only initial skillful means used to train the mind, so that it's not heedlessly lost in thought most of the time. The main purpose of the object of meditation is to anchor the mind to it so that it is always in the moment, mindful and aware of the object of meditation without thought. Once this training is done, the trained mind will be silent with awareness within, and such a mind is in the meditative state to see things as they are without any concept, idea or words. When the above is understood, then any method or technique can also be used to train the mind to be heedful initially. But finally, we need to develop the ultimate meditative mind with silent inner awareness, where the mind must have no dwelling as per the Diamond Sutta. Then one must let go of the object of meditation and silence one's mind to develop the more refined mindfulness within. It's just like swimming. You listen to this one. This one is very useful. The float is just an initial skillful means. It's like the object of meditation to keep you afloat, to help keep you afloat. And as long as you still hold on to the float, then one will understand. Then one will never understand the actual swimming, because to swim with the float and without the float are two different experiences. You agree or not? Yeah? You hold on to the float and you can float and swim. That one is not real swimming, is it? The moment you let go of the float, you don't depend on the float, and yet you can swim. That is real swimming, isn't it? So your object of meditation is the same. When you hold on to the object of meditation, then only you can be mindful. The moment the object of meditation is gone, what happened to you? Like the float, no more. How? You fear you will drown, isn't it? Then you struggle in the water. But you know how to naturally keep yourself afloat without the float, then there is no need to worry about whether the float is there or not. So meditation is the same. Ultimately, all method and technique, you have to relinquish the object of meditation. Your end of day is the mind. If the mind is trained, finish. You don't need the object of meditation. The other funny analogy is, last time in Japan, I remember, there is a Zen story. There's a monastery, then the abbot saw a lot of dogs. So he pitied the dog, he took one of them in and tried to bring up the dog. The dog was in the temple. But every time when the meditation starts, sometimes the dog creates some nuisance or not conducive. So what the abbot did was he gave instruction to his assistant, he said, tie up the dog. So it became a belief, you know, a tradition, you know. So every time meditation, they tie that dog up. No? They thought this one is important. No? Yeah. Master give instruction. No? Then when the master die, after the master pass away, the dog also sad and die. You know what happened? They have a discussion. No? And they say, master say, must tie a dog. No? So they go and get a new dog. No? And they go and tie it up during meditation. This is so gullible, understand or not? So when you don't understand what you are doing, you will end up like that. So meditation is the same. Don't be gullible. So bowing or reverential salutation is one of the 10 meritorious actions. And it is a very important virtue that comes with so many benefits and advantages. I am going to explain to you the advantage of bowing. It is part of the opening. Closing puja or devotional practice as recommended by the Buddha to help one establish the faith or sadha in the Buddha and his teaching, followed by the spiritual zeal or virya and the development of sati and mindfulness, which is the third spiritual faculty. One can then bow mindfully and with understanding via a composed mind with strong sadha and virya. Bowing is not ideal worshipping, but instead it is reverential salutation done out of great respect and gratitude for someone who has taught you well, like the Buddha, who is fully enlightened, perfect in wisdom and virtue. Since it is a meritorious action, the field of merits is immeasurable and is done with understanding to the worthy one or enlightened one. Such merits can be made use of to arise the causes and conditions for us to progress quickly along the path of Dhamma. We are invoking the power of merits. Apart from helping us to develop the spiritual faculty of sadha, virya, and sati, bowing can also help us to cultivate humility, help us exercise our body while establishing ourselves in mindfulness training. Also, according to the Buddha, four things grow if you pay respect sincerely to worthy one and the elders. The four things are ayu, wana, sukang, palang. The monk always give you this type of blessing. Ayu means long life. Wana means fair complexion. Sukang means happiness or joy. And palang is strength, both spiritual and physical strength. So all these four blessings are very important in life. Okay, we stop here. Then you can have your meditation. I will set the alarm. We can off the light. Yeah, 8 minutes. So you got 52 minutes to go.